Welcome. This Sunday, the first Sunday of Advent, on November 27th, 2022. Our scriptures today are Isaiah 2, 1 through 5, Romans 13, 11 through 14, and Matthew 24, 36 through 44. Our message title is The Prophecies. So if you would, please open your Bibles and read with me the scriptures today. From Isaiah 2, verses 1 through 5, this is Isaiah prophesying to the people of Judah, revealing the vision that God had given him about the last days. So let us begin in verse 1. This is what Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war any more. Come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord, the day of the Lord. Then our reading from Romans 13:11 through 14. This is Paul writing to the believers in Rome, prophesying to them, saying, "And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here, so let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality, debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature." In our gospel reading from Matthew 24, verses 36 through 44, Jesus is prophesying to his disciples, sitting on the Mount of Olives, answering the question, "When will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age?" found in Matthew 24, 3. So starting in verse 36, we read, "No one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you do not expect him." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, this first Sunday of Advent, we light the candle of prophecy, many times called the candle of hope. So today I've titled the message, Prophecies, because in our scriptures today we find that these prophecies, they give us hope for the future. So what's your definition of prophecy? Well, according to Webster's Dictionary, it's an inspired utterance of a prophet. The function or vocation of a prophet, specifically the inspired declarations of divine will and purpose, and a prediction of something to come. So let me start my message today by telling you a story of two pastors prophesying in their inspired utterances. A couple of pastors from local churches who had just attended a communications seminar were standing by the side of the road holding up signs. The Baptist pastor's sign read, "The end is near." The Presbyterian pastor on the other side of the road held up a sign which read, "Turn before it's too late." They planned to hold up their signs to each passing car. "Well, get a job," the first driver yelled at them when they saw the sign. The second driver immediately behind the first yelled, "Leave us alone, you religious freaks." Well, shortly from around the curve, the two passers heard screeching tires and a splash, followed by one more set of screeching tires and another splash. And the Baptist pastor, he looked over to the other and said, "Do you think we should have tried a different sign?" The Presbyterian pastor responded thoughtfully, "Perhaps our signs ought to simply say, 'Bridge out.'" Well, seeing that today marks the beginning of the season of Advent, a time of preparation, a time of great expectation and great anticipation, exactly what is it that we anticipate? What are we getting ready for, and how do we prepare? What do we expect to happen in the days to come? Well, if you were in our worship service today, we started our celebration in preparation for Advent by reading the words prophesied. In Isaiah 9, verses 2 and 6, we read, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." This first Sunday of Advent, I pray, finds us not dreaming of a perfect Christmas or searching for a gift for a person who has everything, but rather looking to the future, to the second coming of Christ. So in our scripture readings today, we read the prophecies, the inspired utterances, the predictions of what is to come, the prophecies of Isaiah, of Paul, and from Jesus. I mean, Isaiah prophesied to us to walk in his paths and to walk in the light. And Paul wrote in Romans 13:11, prophesying to you and me about the days to come, when he writes, "Do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber." Well, then in our gospel readings, Jesus instructs his disciples to keep watch, to be ready. Like the pastors in my opening story, all three were holding up signs from God, telling us to prepare ourselves for what is to come. They were prophesying to answer the questions, what is it that we are to anticipate? What are we getting ready for, and how do we prepare? And what do we expect to happen in the days to come? All too often we ignore these prophecies, so let's take a closer look at them. So when the prophet Isaiah prophesied about the advent of God, he envisioned a world unified in worship of God and committed to peace. Isaiah prophesied of a time when the nations of the people of the world would join together in recognizing the sovereignty of God, and declares, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, that God may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths." In the world of Isaiah's vision, war was a thing of the past, and the nations of the earth lived together in peace, walking in the light of the Lord. Isaiah prophesied, giving us hope for the future. The Apostle Paul, along with the first century Christians, believed hopefully that Jesus would return during their own lifetime, expecting and anticipating that Jesus would return any day. Well, expecting Christ would return any day would certainly alter the way you live your life and what you view as important, wouldn't it? We don't have the same sense of urgency today as Paul and the early believers, but Advent should remind us that our faith is future-oriented, propelling us to the future. Too often our focus is on the past, which makes it difficult to ponder what tomorrow will bring. While it may not always seem to be the case, we believe that with Jesus, the best is always yet to come. So Paul encourages us and prophesies to us to understanding the present time, to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. "Know what time it is," Paul tells us. "It is time for us to focus on Jesus, refraining from all other distractions commonly associated with Christmas." I mean, too often we simply go through the motions, expecting nothing out of the ordinary to happen. That's why Paul commands us to wake up, pay attention. Our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. God is at work in our lives and in our world. We will not want to miss anything due to our inattention. So in our gospel reading today from Matthew, the disciples are talking to Jesus about the second coming. They want to know when that's going to happen, so they can be ready for it. Well, Jesus recalls a familiar story of Noah. He reminds the disciples that the days of Noah, people were living their lives with little concern for God. They were eating and drinking and marrying and celebrating. And suddenly in those days, the rains came. Only Noah and his family were wise enough to listen to God's warnings and seek salvation. I mean, when Jesus comes again, he tells his disciples, it's going to be like that. Life will be going on as usual with people doing what they normally do, buying and selling, working and playing, just doing ordinary things. And suddenly, without warning, the Lord will return. When that happens, some will be ready and some will not. Some will remember, as Jesus prophesied, to be ready for the coming of the kingdom. But some will not remember because other things will have become more important to them. And those folks who have forgotten or disbelieved, they will be greatly disappointed on that day. Keep watch, Jesus tells his disciples in Matthew 24:42. Well, this is not an easy task. I know this because when I joined the Navy, they sent me to boot camp. And there I spent 9 weeks learning how to keep watch. I mean, I was taught to get rest, to wear the right gear, to follow the skipper's SOP, which is a standard operating procedures. To scan the horizon, to check your course, and to pass on your knowledge. The same teachings apply for us as we keep watch this Advent season, this time of preparation, of great expectation, and great anticipation. So first on the list is get rest. Advent season seems to be one of the busiest times of the year. All that planning and shopping, finding the right gifts, sending cards and season greetings, presenting wrappings, and the list goes on and on. It all puts us on edge, and we need to remember to get rest. So seeing that deer season is here, I will use this example to help you better relate to this. 4 guys were at deer camp, and no one wanted a room with Rocky because he snored so badly. They decided it wasn't fair to make one of them stay with him the whole time, so they voted to take turns. The first guy slept with Rocky and comes to breakfast the next morning with his hair a mess and his eyes all bloodshot. And they said, "Man, what happened to you?" He said, "Rocky snored so loudly, I just sat up and watched him all night." Well, the next night, it was a different guy's turn. And in the morning, same thing, hair all standing up, eyes all bloodshot. They said, "Man, what happened to you? You look awful." He said, "Man, that Rocky, he shakes the roof with his snoring. I watched him all night." Well, the third night was Fred's turn. Now, Fred, he was a tanned older cowboy, a man's man. The next morning, he came to breakfast, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. "Good morning," he said. Well, they couldn't believe it. They said, "Man, what happened to you?" "Happened?" He said, "Well, we got ready for bed, and I went and I tucked Rocky into the bed, patted him on the butt, and kissed him goodnight. Well, Rocky sat up and watched me all night." Well, we laugh at that story, but you get the point. It's not easy to get rest when so many things are happening around us in our world today, especially as we prepare for Christmas season. A time of great expectation and great anticipation. Well, keeping watch also requires us to wear the right gear. There's a saying that I heard one time that goes something like this. There's no such thing as bad weather, only bad clothes. Well, indeed, I believe that hits it right on the head. Paul prophesies to us saying, "Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ," in Romans 13:14. In other words, wear the right gear. Because if we clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, the armor of light, then we can walk in the light of the Lord with hope for the future, less tempted to think about how to gratify the desires of a sinful nature. So clothe yourselves with the armor of light while keeping watch, remembering the words of Isaiah's prophecy, "He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. Walking in his path, clothed in the armor of light, we need to follow Jesus, SOP, while keeping watch. I mean, as my naval training would put it, follow the skipper's SOP. Most skippers have standard operating procedures that tell you when to keep the log once an hour or once per watch, and when to wake him or her, and the safety procedures on watch. Alert the skipper if you are in doubt or have a question that affects the safety of the crew. Well, Jesus left us with his SOPs, his standard operating procedures, and they were quite simple. He told his disciples to keep watch, because you don't know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Matthew 24:42-44. Jesus' standard operating procedures is to be ready, keep watch, clothed with the armor of light, and walk in his path, doing his will. I'm reminded of the story of a pastor who was out sitting on his porch and thinking about the unpredictability of life. At any moment, one's life could change, and so one should live every moment looking to God. So as the preacher sat there, his neighbors passed by leading his horse. The preacher called out, "What are you doing with that? With your horse?" Well, the man answered, "I'm going into town to sell it." Well, the pastor said, "You ought to say that you are going to sell it if it be the Lord's will." The man said, "What does this have to do with the Lord's will? This is a good, healthy horse, and it'll be sold before you know it." The pastor said, "Have you forgotten that the Lord is watching you? You need to put everything in God's hands in order for it to work out. You should say, 'If it be the Lord's will.'" The man said, "This is my horse, and I have raised it specifically to be sold. I've even gotten a buyer for it. The Lord's will won't change anything." Well, later that day, the neighbor passed by the preacher's house again, and he was covered in dirt. His clothes were ripped to pieces, and he was sore from one end to the other. Well, the astonished preacher asked, "What had happened?" The man said, "Well, I talked for you so long that I was late for my appointment with my buyer. To get there on time, I took a shortcut across the cornfield owned by a cross old buzzard. Well, he saw me trampling through his field, and he started shooting at my horse. The horse panicked and fell over on top of me. Then it kicked me in the eye. And trying to get out from under the horse, I tore my clothes all to pieces. I ran from that old man and his gun and ran smack dab into a barbed wire fence. That's what happened to me." The pastor asked, "Well, where are you going now?" The man answered, "Well, I'm going home now, if it be the Lord's will." Follow Jesus' SOP. Do the Lord's will. Keep watch. Be ready. Alert the skipper if you are in doubt or have questions that affects the safety of your crew. Scan the horizon. Look to future possibilities. Anticipate. And expect that things are not always going to plan. But hold on to the hope of the prophecies of Jesus' return. Don't forget to check your course while keeping your watch. I mean, it's easy to forget about your course when your focus is on day-to-day activities. We all have a tendency to daydream and miss the opportunity to do his will. I mean, it's like recently Bonnie and I were traveling, and I set the navigation system and the cruise control in her car, and now, without realizing, the audio was turned off on the navigation system. I was daydreaming and passed the exit which we needed to take, and miles later, I realized that I was off course. The same thing happens to us when we don't check our course, when we don't pay attention to the prophecies of Jesus. To keep watch, be ready, anticipate, and expect his return, and pass on your knowledge. Like those in Isaiah's prophecy, where many people will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." Keep watch. Be ready. Clothe yourselves in the armor of light. For we have the inspired utterances of the prophets. the inspired declaration of God's divine will for all believers, and the hope given to us in the prophecies of Christ's return. While keeping watch in his service, this has been Pastor Joe.